Okay, hi. My name is John Jacobson, and my wife Brady and our three daughters and I, we are farmers in northern Oregon, right on the border of Washington State and Oregon State and the Columbia River. We grow organic pears and apples on our 500-acre ranch. About 150 acres of that is orchard, and the remaining is forest and wetlands. Well, Hood River is famous in the United States for growing winter pears. Probably 30% of all of the winter pears eaten in America, grown in America, are produced right here in this small valley. We bought our farm about 18 years ago. This land in this valley at one time was all forest. There was no orchard here at all. That's what grows here best. 10,000 years ago, my house here was about 3,000 feet under the ice. In the early years that I began to farm, one of the things, though, that I was very conformist in was that I was going to use all the land that I had to plant my orchard right up to the house, right up against the buildings, block the views, do all these things because it just seemed like that's what people did. Farmers plant from fence post to the fence post, and you do it in nice geometrical shapes if you can. It's a lot easier to farm that way. It's a lot less expensive to farm that way. But as time went by, I began to realize that had I had a chance to do it all again, I wouldn't do that. But the area itself is so unique and so gorgeous that it'd be much nicer to have an orchard that more meanders through the indigenous forest and plants than it would be to have these geometrical shapes. So in the second half of our orchard renewal, where we went up into the forest itself, that's what we did. It's higher up there, and we're high as a farm as it is already. And that means that the evening temperatures, even in the summertime, begin to cool, and by the middle of the night, you'd be uncomfortable outside without a sweater or a coat on. And so the chemistry of fruit production slows down because it's a function of the heat. And your fruit is smaller, your trees take longer to grow. But it feels special, and I think the decision to use that land up there for that was the right one. I'm more convinced of that every year. Because when you're working in that part of your orchard, and you're perhaps a mile away from your home, but still on your land, and you're looking off in the middle of the summer, the driest time of the year, at centuries-old glaciers, it's shining blue and green, in the sunlight and looking down rows of trees and part of that and thinking ahead, what's the next step? What's your crop going to be like? Who are the people who are going to eat your fruit? It's different. We are out of the mainstream. The farming methods that we've chosen here are not like typical farming methods anywhere really in the world. What's typically the case now is people are using chemical fertilizers and pesticides. They're going into areas and trying to farm on a massive scale. I would see our own farm as something that's very personal. America's affluent. You can choose to be a conventional farmer or an organic farmer if you just obey the basics and make enough money to survive. It's a luxury. It's a chance to, again, experiment with something that maybe 50 years from now we'll all see that we came out of the challenges that were placed before us in the end of the 20th century and found a better way in the 21st century to accommodate all the goals of producing the necessary amounts of food and the increasing amounts of food, but we did it in a way that was just easier on the earth.